Well, good morning, and if you would, please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans, chapter 13. My message is a topical message today, and would like to read this verse. Romans 13, 7. Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Not too long ago, a very public discussion erupted over the value of a stay-at-home mother. And if you would recall, the Democratic strategist and Democratic National Convention advisor Hillary Rosen lobbed an insult at Ann Romney, suggesting that the 64-year-old mother of five and grandmother of 16 had never held a job. And by the way, that's a quote from the ABC News line. Guess what? His wife has actually never worked a day in her life, said Rosen, who was being interviewed by CNN's Anderson Cooper. In response, Ms. Romney said, she should have come to my house when those five boys were causing me so much trouble, Ms. Romney said, laughing. It wasn't so easy. She goes on to say, my career choice was to be a mother. She said of a job she dubbed an awesome responsibility. CareerCast.com is out with its best and worst jobs of the year for 2012, and listed was the most stressful jobs. Number one they listed on the list was an enlisted soldier. Two was a firefighter. Three was an airline pilot. Four is a military general. Five is a police officer. Number six of the most stressful jobs is an event coordinator. Number seven, public relations executive. Number eight, corporate executive, talking about the senior corporate executives. Number nine was a photojournalist. And then number 10 of their list of most stressful jobs is a taxi driver. Well, I would say that really the work of being a parent should be somewhere in that list, especially the work of a mother. It really should top that list. Today is Mother's Day, and I've decided to speak to you, as I've mentioned, in a topical fashion. And I've chosen to read the text from Romans because Paul expresses a thought which is often overlooked in our society. That is, it is right and it is proper to show honor and respect to others, and even unto certain positions which are held by others. And I submit unto you that among that list should be the list of a mother. A mother should be honored and respected. Therefore, it is my objective to remind you that a mother's task is not an easy one. And I should think that we should leave this place today with a renewed respect for our mothers. And of course, fathers, you have a wife. So respect what your wife does for the family. We ought to give honor to whom honor. I further submit that none of those listed in the top 10 most stressful jobs deserve more honor than the faithful, hardworking, self-sacrificing, loving, devoted mother. And so I would like to turn your attention today to the unsung heroes who are our mothers. And so I want to speak to you today a message which I have entitled, The Work of a Mother. And I pray it'll be a blessing to your heart. Let's pray. God in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for the day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And we know that some are not with us today due to sickness and providential hindrance. Others are visiting away, and Lord, you know, but we're thankful for these that are here. And we ask that you would just meet every need of every heart. And Lord, thank you for good mothers. Thank you for your blessings upon our families. And we pray that you would continue to undergird our families and make them to be strong and healthy. And we pray for each mom and each dad that they would guide the home. And we pray for the children that they would be responsive and respectful. And Lord, that they might come to know you. And we pray that for those that are here in our midst today that might be lost, Father, we ask that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to you. And although we won't be speaking on an evangelistic topic today, Lord, you can still work in their hearts. And I pray that perhaps maybe someone's here that's lost, that they might think about a godly mother and what they were in Jesus Christ. And, Lord, may that touch their heart, that they would respond and be saved today. Lord, all things we commit to you. We love you. We honor you. And I pray that everything that I say and do today would be to your praise. And we do want to honor our mothers today. And we pray that it would be to that end as we honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and it's for his sake. Amen. I want to think about today the work of a mother. And I would like to give you some biblical reminders, first of all. And so I invite you back to the book of John, chapter 16. And I just want to quickly touch on this because very simply, and I realize with our society and with technology and all that, some people think that giving birth is just the easiest thing in the world. But the truth of the matter is the Bible makes it clear that giving birth is a difficult thing. So becoming a mother is a difficult thing. In John chapter 16, Jesus addresses and makes a statement about a woman in travail. And it says, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow. Because, this is verse 21, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remember no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Very simply, it's not an easy task for a woman to carry a child, to bring that child to birth. It's a very long time. It's a very painful experience. And I know that they have the Cadillac of delivery. I know that they have epidurals and all kinds of things. But you know what? It's still not an easy task. Very, very difficult upon a woman to give birth. And so never underestimate that you know what? Your mother gave birth to you. And it was not an easy thing. And so just wanted to remind you, and that, of course, you know, you can talk to women and say, hey, what do you think about giving birth? And they can give you all kinds of phrases of what they think it was like and all that. We're not going to get into that. You know, it's a painful experience, very difficult. And I appreciate my mom willing to go through that kind of pain and suffering to give birth to me. And so, mothers, it's difficult to become a mother. And of course, and I invite you then back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Once children are in the home, you know what? The rearing of children is not an easy task. They say that when a person gets married, they wish that there was a handbook that you could give. There is no handbook to marriage, and there's no handbook to children. And I know there's a lot of psychological helps out there, and there's a lot of counseling books and all, people written this and written that. But you know what? Nobody has the key about how to raise a family and how to treat a spouse and all that kind of thing. The Bible is the best book that you can use, I'll tell you right now. You want to know how to treat your spouse? Read the Bible. You want to know how to rear your children? Read the Bible. If you want to get those other self-helps, you can, but there really is no guidebook. There is no manual that's going to help you in everything. It's not an easy task, and rearing children is not a simple thing to do. Back in the book of Proverbs, where I've asked you to turn, chapter 22, Proverbs 22, and in verse 6, we read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the thing that I want to point out to you is that word train. The word train there in the Hebrew, specifically that word properly means to narrow, to make narrow. And so it is the idea of being disciplined. And so the word is translated in the Hebrew Scriptures into the English as a word dedicate. Here in this text, it is the matter of train up. Now, I'll tell you, if you've ever had any children, then you know what it's like to try to train up a child, to try to narrow that person's sight, to help them do the right things, to guide them, to teach them, to direct them. And they may, you know, even if you just babysit, maybe you don't have children of your own, but you babysit or whatever, you know, it's not an easy task to teach a child and to train and to discipline. And you know, train up a child. Now, of course, the Scripture here speaks of it and train up a child in the way he should go. Not just in the biblical sense, but also in the things of life. Train up a child properly. That takes a lot of effort. It's not an easy thing. And you know, one thing I've learned is, as I've gone through that time of our children, and our youngest is soon to graduate in a couple weeks, what I've learned is I can't be their friend. I have to be a parent first. Now, I want to be their friend. I want to interact. I want to be have that relationship. But I've learned through the years the first thing I need to do is to be a dad. And then I can be a friend if it will be permitted. But I can't allow my friendship with my children interfere with becoming a dad. Because a friend won't necessarily respond as a parent would. And training up a child is not always easy. Sometimes you have to be the bad guy. Sometimes you have to be the meanie, and that's just the way it is. And children, you don't understand that now, but when you get up there and you start having children of your own, and you see what it's like to rear children and to bring them up in this world, you'll understand what I'm telling you. Train up a child. It's not a simple task. Again, no handbook, no guidebook. And you can use those other books as maybe for some direction. But you know what? It's not an easy thing. Back in a few chapters, to chapter 19 of the book of Proverbs, again, rearing the children is not an easy task. In chapter 19 and verse 18, one of the sad things that need to be accomplished within the home, it says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." The word chasten there means, it comes from a primitive root in the Hebrew, which means to chastise. The idea behind it is to instruct. Therefore, we are to chasten our children. We are to correct them. We are to instruct them. We are to teach them. We are to punish them. Now, nobody in the Scripture talks about going around beating people to death and abusing children. Even when you read the Scripture and it says, if you beat him with a rod, he shall not die. That's not the intent of what we hear today in the news. Well, they beat their kid. It's not that at all. But the Bible describes proper discipline for children. And there is a need for corporal punishment. You may disagree with me with that, but I think the Bible teaches corporal punishment is an appropriate thing, and it needs to be done, and that's not an easy task. It's a hard thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do. And it's hard to keep it consistent sometimes. But the truth of the matter is, and I think all of you parents would agree with me today, and especially you mothers, you know what? It's difficult becoming a mother. It's difficult rearing children. Because you have to teach and you have to train. And we're focusing upon the mother today. Now go to the book of Proverbs chapter 31. And I want to direct your attention to a somewhat lengthy portion of Scripture here, which is the description of a virtuous woman. And so what we find here is one who will do the job that she's been given and do it well. And what we'll read in these verses, is that taking care of a household is work. It's not easy. And really, to make a statement, well, they're just a stay-at-home mother, that's not a job. That's just an ignorant statement. It's as ignorant as saying, well, there's a preacher, he only works Sunday morning and Sunday night. You know, he only preaches, and he only works 3 hours a week. What a job. Well, you know what? That's just an ignorant statement if you know anything about the ministry. Now, taking care of the household is a lot of work. See how it's reserved for us here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, from King Lemuel, and we'll pick it up in verse 13. And discern what's being said. I'm going to come back and summarize it and list you some things, but see what's being expressed here. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now skip down to verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now if you'll go back and you gander through these verses, you'll see in summary, really, this is a woman who works with her hands. She's not afraid to work. She labors with her hands. She harvests the crops. She shops for her household. She likes a merchant ship that comes back with all of her goods. She's providing what is necessary. She rises early, doesn't she? She has business savvy. I mean, she has some sense, and so she can make business decisions, the Scripture tells us. She plants crops. She works in the field. She works in the vineyards, and she stays up late. Now, what do we see? We see she rises up early. She stays up late. The mother, a virtuous woman, will often burn the candle at both ends. We also found that she works at home. She's making these things. And I understand it's a different society back then and what we see today. And I'm not saying that all the women have to stay in the home and all that. I will tell you that you will sacrifice something to be in the workplace. However, there is a difference in society, but this woman is one who is going to continue to work, and she works hard. And verse 27 tells us that, where it says that she is diligent and hardworking. Look at verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Remember years ago, at least when I was a teen growing up, the big thing was they always depicted the woman sitting at home with curlers in their hair watching soap operas all afternoon. That's the way they used to depict the mothers. And you know what? A virtuous woman doesn't do that. She eats not the bread of idleness. Boy, that's hard work. It's constant. And it never lets up. Turn then, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I trust that you're seeing. I'm just showing you a few verses to remind you of the work of a mother. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 5. And what I express here simply is, what Paul writes, and he writes to Timothy, and he speaks about the influence that his mother and grandmother had upon him. And what they are is their spiritual examples. And you know what? If you're going to be a spiritual example, it takes some work. And you just can't look at your children and say, well, do as I do, and do as I say, and don't do as I do. You can't do that. You have to back up your teaching and your instruction with the way that you live. And so we find that just as an example, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, where he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, Timothy, you've been blessed because you had a grandmother who was saved, a mother who was saved, and they taught you about Jesus Christ. You learned about him, and you were saved yourself." That's not an easy task. Not only do families need to teach and train their children up in the things of the world, they need to teach and train their children up in the things of God. We're glad that you're here today. This is the best place to have your children. You give them to the school system all week long, and then they have them for 30 hours a week, and then you bring them to church once or twice a week. You got to teach them, you got to train them, and you have to train them at home. Teach them the things of God. Not an easy task. Now just go over a few more pages of the book of Titus and then you can relax. Titus chapter 2. I also want to remind that just the obligation to the children, as we find listed in this text, as Paul writes to Titus and expresses some things. Verse 4, verse 5. Titus 2, 4. The aged women are to teach younger women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers in home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so we see instruction that the older women are to teach the younger women. But in verse 5, that word teach. Now you say, wait a minute, that's the older women teaching the younger women. However, shouldn't a mother teach their daughter even when they become adults? Can't there still be some instruction? Can't there still be some direction and guidance there? Absolutely. Mothers ought to teach their daughters how to be mothers, how to be wives. Daddies need to be teaching their sons how to be husbands, how to be workers. And that's just the way it ought to be. And so he says you need to be teachers. That word teach comes from the idea. And it's interesting because this Greek word properly means to restore to a right mind. It's kind of like somebody's off their thinking and you need to bring them back onto center. You need to bring them back where they ought to be. And so they need to teach these young women. Teach them. They're getting off the path. You bring them back on. Give them the right mind. And so you teach them. Now in verse 5, one of the things that they're to be taught, that the wives are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. And what I wanted to emphasize is that English phrase, keepers at home, it comes from a single word in the Greek language, which means properly, and this is really just a definition, a watcher of the house. Keeper of the home, a watcher of the house. Who looks over the household? The wife, the mother, is to look over the household, the keeper of the house. It's a responsibility laid upon them. And so I try to just remind you some of these things of what the Bible describes. And you know that, but I also want to go just a step further and bring it into more of our understanding and concepts as thinking about a job description we might list. And You know, if you look in the newspaper, they'll have jobs listed in the want ads. And they'll tell about the job, and they'll tell about some of the things. And if you go and put in an application, you can talk to the human resource person about the benefits and the perks and the drawbacks, and they can tell you some of these things. Well, I'll tell you, you want to add a job description to some of those things which we just read. Here it is. Here's the other perks, if you will, being a good mother. It's long hours. You want some long hours? Become a mother. There's little or no pay. My wife said before, she said, you know what, if I got paid for all that time, I'd be a wealthy woman. That's absolutely right. Mom spends a lot of time. Long hours, little or no pay. Constant multitasking. I mean, you just have to be able to do a lot of things. On call, 24/7. A high-stress work environment, just about all the time. The home is a high-stress work. Deal with children for a little while, and you will understand. Minimal vacation time. Very rarely does a mother get off the job. And even when they grow up and the children grow up and the mothers become up in age and they become grandmothers and great-grandmothers, you know, they're still your mother. My mom used to look at me and she says, you're still my baby boy. And you know what? She said, I'll be your mother all your life. And that's absolutely true. And so she's with the Lord, but the fact is, you know what? She was always my mom. And you know what? There's no retirement from being a mother. Now, that's a job. How many want to apply for that job today? Well, we know that's a difficult task, don't we? It's not an easy thing. So let me elaborate upon this. Let me just open this up a little bit further, because what I want you to think about today is the work that your mother has put in, or the work that your spouse is doing for your children, and just consider the work of a mother and how hard it really is and what is encompassed in that. And what I would like to do, and I might get in a little trouble here, but every now and then I take a risk or two. And so I want to talk about the many hats of a mother. You know what I mean about hats, wearing different hats? And I'm not being disrespectful here. But you know, you have a hat, and you have one hat. And of course, this is a Titan hat. And I won't wear them all the way through. This is illustration. Don't get upset with me because I'm wearing a hat in the house of God. But you have a hat, and then you can switch a hat. Now, this is a hat my son gave me from Louisiana College. And so I have a football hat. I have a basketball hat. Here, I got this little, I'm not even sure what they call these little hat things here with no tops on them, but golf hat or whatever this is, and I believe this is a golf hat. But anyway, I got one of these. Well, you know what? We understand that when you switch hats, you switch the branding on it. I'm a dad, but I'm a husband, but I'm a preacher, but I'm an evangelist, I'm a teacher, and on and on. And so you get another hat, and this is a golf hat, and so many hats. You know, I really wanted to get a bunch of hats and put the names on there, but I didn't have that many hats, and I figured you couldn't read them if I did. So you get the idea of what it is, where somebody wears a lot of hats. That's an idiom out of our society. We understand what that means. You understand what that means. And I want you to think just for a moment with me, and I'll be done. Man, this is an easy service today. You're out early for lunch. Well, maybe. Think about the hats of a mother. I thought about this, and I thought, what does my wife do? What did my mom do? Aren't mothers chefs? Oh, I know not everybody. You know, some people, their forte just isn't to cook. You know, and understand, I'm not saying everybody without exception. You're on board with me, right? A mother is a chef. How about a maid? The ladies are going, yeah, that's about right. She can be a tailor or a seamstress. I'm fortunate my wife's good with a sewing machine, and she can sew and do things. She doesn't make stuff, but, you know, too much, but I mean, she didn't make my suit, but she can fix things. A tailor, a seamstress, that's another hat, you see. A teacher. We already read that in the text. Mother has to be a teacher. She has to be a disciplinarian. That's a job. That's another hat. You know, a mother will be an accountant. Oh, I know not all of them, but you know what? Ladies, you ought to know how to run the checkbook. You ought to know how to run a household. If for anything, if your husband dies, you got to know how to do it. So learn that. Be an accountant. I'm not saying go get a degree. You can if you wish. But one of the hats of a mother, she needs to be an accountant, be able to pay bills, all that kind of thing. Yard maintenance. Some do, some don't, but wife get out there and push a mower once in a while. Good for her. Yard maintenance. Landscaper, too. Get out there, work in the flowers, clean up the flower bed. Is your mother a landscaper? Huh? What about a painter? I'm glad my wife likes to paint because I hate to paint. I mean, that is one of my worst passions. I hate painting. And she comes up every summer with a painting job and says, well, my project for this summer is this. And I said, go for it. The only sad thing is I got to paint the trim of my house and she can't get the ladder up. So I'm going to have to do the high parts. But painting, you know, a lot of women are great at painting. That's another hat, isn't it? Well, boy, there's a lot of hats already I've given you. I've given you 9. Number 10, a dishwasher. Woman's a dishwasher, isn't she? Mother's a dishwasher. Chauffeur. I'll tell you, we've driven our kids all over this city. And chauffeur. Psychologist. Mother has to be wear the hat of a psychologist. Got to have some insight, don't you? Doctor or a nurse. Now, I do most of the doctoring. She does the nurse kind of activities. But you know what? A woman needs to know how to do that. Take care of her children. Come in with a scraped knee. You got to be able to clean that thing out if you need to. Put some Band-Aid or something on it, you know. When I was a kid, it was methylene. I don't know what they use today, but that stuff, they put it in a cut, and it burned the living daylights out of you. But it took care of it. I guess they use Neosporin today. I ought to call these companies and have them donate to the church for using their names. But a mother needs to know to be a doctor or nurse. That's another hat, a counselor. Kids come to mom, hey, can I ask you a question? Counselor, you got to be a counselor. Waitress? Ladies going, yeah. So I'll wait on them all the time. Janitor, keep the house clean, all that. Personal shopper. My wife's a good personal shopper, and she'll do shopping for us. And so that's good. I don't like to do it too much. So personal shopper. Daycare worker. Well, certainly when your kids are small, you got to take care of your kids. That's daycare, isn't it? And then when they get old enough and they have grandkids, you got the grandkids. They're your daycare worker. Another hat. Entertainment director. My wife's the entertainment director of our family, I guarantee you. You would not believe where we're going this afternoon. I'm not even going to tell you. Entertainment director. But that takes work. It's a job, isn't it, that a mother does? How about this? Spiritual guide. I tell you, ladies, you have a great opportunity to influence your children. Teach them about Jesus. Tell them about God and His Word. Man, do that. Take opportunity. Be a spiritual guide. Well, a few more hats and I'll be done. Receptionist. Answer the phone, take notes. All kinds of, a mother needs to be a receptionist. You know, they're also a security guard or bodyguard. Don't make fun of my kid, man. We'll be at it. And the women will defend. The men will defend. Security guard. Hear a little sound at night. Of course, now it's get up. You do. You know, you're checking it out. You're watching over the household. Some ladies are carpenters, very good at that. Not talking about the name, but they do, you know, I mean, they can build things and fix things. And carpenters, some are mechanics. And I wish my wife could be a mechanic. I wish she could be a plumber. I wish she was a carpenter. No, she's a painter, though. Just some of the many hats. You know, some are barbers, stylists. Who here has their mother cut their hair? One. Well, you know what? Mothers do those kind of things. Does that make sense to you? Aren't you glad I didn't have a bunch of hats trying to keep that straight? But you get the idea, don't you? A mother wears a lot of hats. I listed possibly 26 possible hats that a mother would wear. You think that's easy? Man, that's tough, isn't it? It's a hard thing. So I submit unto you in closing. Told you it'd be easy. I submit unto you that being a mother really is a difficult job. I believe that. Being a father is not easy either. But this is Mother's Day, so we talk about moms. It's not an easy task. And I believe that the job of a mother, if it's done right, I'm not talking about the lazy, slothful, kickback, non-caring mothers. I'm talking about if a job is going to be done right by a mother, it's a job that is extremely demanding. It is a job which requires commitment and dedication. And you say, well, I'm not a mother, and you shouldn't be talking. You have a mother. Think of what she did for you. Wasn't it demanding? Didn't it require commitment? This job, if it is done right, bears a huge responsibility. Man, it's a lot of weight being a mom. It's a lifelong duty. It just never ends. Being a mother is undervalued and often disrespected, as is evident as we see by some of the comments in our society about, well, you know, mothers this and mothers that and stay-at-home moms. You know what? It's a tough task. And I'm glad that many choose to do it. And I submit unto you that being a mother is a position of honor. Honor. Mothers ought to be respected. And they ought to be honored. In Proverbs 31, we read in that passage, I didn't read this text, but let me give it to you. In verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. It's greater than any treasure you can have. If you can have a virtuous woman, ladies, be virtuous women. Be hard workers. Be dedicated. Be what God would have you to be. And that will not be an easy task. And you will have to work hard at it. And may we give you the honor for doing that task. May we give you the praise where it is deserved. The Scripture says, give honor to whom honor. And so today, I honor the mothers that are here. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your work, your labor, your commitment. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. It's a great task. It's a commitment given to you by God. Take it seriously and do it well by God's grace. I honor the mothers today. As a matter of fact, you see the roses up here. These are for the mothers, but when I do this, I don't exclude the other ladies as well. So after the service, I would like for the ladies, come and get yourself a rose. They didn't say take a half a dozen with you. Come and get a rose, and it's my gift to you. I honor the mothers. I honor the women. We respect women. And so this is for all the ladies. You say, I'm not a mother. It doesn't matter. I want you to have a rose. It's my gift to you. And so may it be a blessing. May it be a reminder. We honor you, and we respect you. And so I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I know it's a little bit different message. I know a little bit of risk involved, but I'm willing to take it so that we might have a reflection upon our mothers and be thankful. And if your mother's still alive, if you have an opportunity, contact her. If not today, maybe another time, get a hold of her and say, Mom, thanks for what you've done. If she's still alive. And you know what? Let her know how much you appreciate all the work she put in for you. Oh, she wasn't perfect. No one is. But boy, there's a lot of work that was involved, and she's done it. You ought to thank her for it. Give honor to where honor is due. Father, we ask you to bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for this time, and I pray that, Lord, your will be done in every heart today, that we'd be mindful of those who give and sacrifice and labor. May we give honor to our mothers today. May we, our husbands, give honor to our wives and to the mothers of our children. And we ask that, Lord, you would be praised through it all because we give you praise first. But we honor them in your name. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And I pray that you would work this in every heart today and that you would draw the lost sinners to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?